We are live, and let's hit this up.
Hi, I'm Samuel, and this is Duty. Have you signed up for the launch of There's an Alien in My Toilet on Kickstarter? I hope that you do. It's going to be a hilarious ride. The link is in the summary. See you there.
All right, what's up, George? What's going on in the House of Crates tonight?
In the House of Crates tonight, we have Michael Gotti, Earth's Best Friends, Kickstarter live next.
All right, let's get it.
We are the only show for independents all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to catch the craze. If you are an independent,
catch the craze!
Making moves on your own,
catch the craze!
On your grind in the streets,
catch the craze!
Join the movement,
catch the craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. Yeah, you want to do it. Catch the craze. Welcome to the Catch the Craze podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Craze Van Vera. And I am with
George the Dream of Medina. Yeah, we got that D-Boys. Welcome back, everyone, to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live tonight. We are having another Kickstarter special. Michael Gotti's going to be on the show. Earth's Best Friends is the name of the title of the book and the project. So we're going to be talking about to him. We're going to be talking to him next. And but what's going on with you, Sammy? What's happening with you, brother?
What's happening? So what's happening is that Duty is getting ready to launch. And I just want to give some love to a lot of the other campaigns that are out there that are showing love for the Dudester. And Dudester always honors his commitments to his loyal concubines, right? So, it's his words, it's not mine.
Okay.
It's the Dudester. So, I do want to acknowledge Glenn in Monsterland by Kevin Philpott. The link is in the summary. Click that link. Check out that campaign. It's getting ready to launch. It launches, I think, February 2nd. You got Sunrise Blossom Volume 1 by Nina Daisy Aberlan. It's currently live. The link is in the summary. Click that link. Journey of the Shadows, Darkness Falls by Stone Abdullah. In the link. Hit that link. Check it out. Then we have Wolf Cub Volume 1 by The Lick by SK. In fact, I also have a video to show for you for that specific campaign, right? Because this is an extra special partner of Duty, and Duty wants to make sure he shows some love. So here it is. Pretty fantastic, right?
That'll get you pumped, kid.
Be pumped.
That'll get you pumped.
What's going on? But Duty shows love to all his peeps. That's Wolf Cubs, Volume 1, The Lick by SK. SK is currently going on. It's on Kickstarter. Hit that link below. So a lot of fantastic campaigns out there and a lot of partners to do Darius Uranius. So again, support the Dudester. Sign up today. We got 62. Duty has 62 recruits who have signed up currently.
Nice.
62 recruits. So are you going to be the next recruit? He needs 100 recruits to get on that ship, you know, because the gas, the fuel is expensive, right?
So you're splitting. You're splitting. All right.
The fuel is expensive, so he needs to have enough recruits to justify that travel because he needs a lot of uranium chips to pay for that fuel. So You need to, yeah. So we need 38 more recruits. So are you going to be a Dudester? Are you an official Dudester? If you are, hit that link below. Sign up today. Duty is waiting for you at the dock, and you're going to take off on that ship and head your way to Earth because he's going to invade. And I don't know if we're ready for him or if he's ready for us. That's, you know, it's hard to tell right now.
It's hard to tell. Well, listen, you have a few days left. I will be dropping these off at some local comic book shops. I got my eye on you, the Spider's Web. So if you guys are in the Yonkers, New York area, and you want to check out a really cool comic book shop, go to the Spider's Web, see Paul. Andy's usually behind the counter there. So make sure you go over there, show some love, pick up some books. I actually picked up this book from the place. We're going to have this gentleman on the show.
Yeah,
we're going to have him on the show at the end of next month. So check that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got a lot of things going on. I'm happy that there's Alien My Toilet will be out February 15th. Make sure that you are watching us live as we go and
party. Launch. It's going to be a party.
It's going to be a party.
Duty has me working. You know, I'm one of his loyal subjects. He has me working on building his launch party invitation page. So that's going to get up real quick by this weekend, and just sign up to that launch party. And I'm hoping that everybody who signed up to the launch of the campaign going to be there for the party, because it's going to be humongous fungus. I'm telling you, it's going to be dope.
Oh, man. Humongous fungus. Okay. Humongous fungus. You know what I just realized too is that Duty's got me working for him. What the hell? I'm over here distributing.
Yes, he works hard.
This guy's got everybody working, bro. Yes, what's going on here?
Got George working on a cover. You know, George got is on the cover. On this cover. This is an original Medina Hayes. It's all depends on who you ask what George's name is. It's either Jorge or is this Jorge or Jorge or George. You know, right? So you got a Mr. Medina right here, an official cover by Jorge Medina. Hey,
you forgot Jorjito. You forgot Jorjito, bro.
Jorjito, mijito.
Come on, dog. Show me some love, bro.
You're not going to find a George Medina out there. So that's going to pop off on eBay. I'm just saying.
You're already selling it on eBay? You already have some of my original work. Yo, I actually have the original cover of that.
I found There's an Alien in My Toilet. That specific cover and the Rambo cover and the original Matrix cover from back in the days on eBay, 40 pops each.
What?
Yes.
Wait, which covers?
The cover you did, the Rambo cover that I did, and the
Matrix eBay?
On eBay, 40 pops each, 40 bucks.
No way.
I was like, yo, they know Duty's coming back. They're getting ready.
The money is already raised. The value is already up. The value is already up.
It's over.
Yo, get out of here.
What's up? We got Aurelis.
What's going on, Aurelis? How you doing?
We got Johnny Syfax in his house. The gang's all here. I'm working on a special audio piece for the crazies when they join the chat. So I'm working on something special. Instead of the cheering, we're going to have something different for the crazies.
Oh, I see. What
the live chat. So have you signed up, Aurelis?
Yeah, well, not now. Not no more. You just messed up her name. She ain't signing up no more. She's like, this bro can't read my name. Oh, my God.
Don't feel bad. I only have four letters in my last name. It's V-E-R-A, right? Vera or Vera. It all depends on what you want to do to it. But in school, Mr. Vera. So intentionally, I would not answer, right? Like, Mr. Vera, do you hear me, Mr. Vera? Are you paying attention? And I'm there sitting there. I'm talking, and they come right over. I said, that's not my name.
My
name is Vera.
Say my name.
Better ask somebody.
Yes. Yeah, did you know that there's an alien in my backpack?
Yeah, there's aliens everywhere. So everybody has an alien in something.
What?
Lo, my name is George. Lo.
There you go.
No, there's an alien in the attic. There's an alien in the closet. There's an alien under the bed. Everybody has something. They're pissed off that they don't have There's an Alien in My Toilet. But everybody has something.
Funny,
like I own Duty's World. I own, you know, Hi, I'm Duty from Uranus. I own The Nail in My Toilet, you know, so, you know, they can't mess with the Zohan.
Let me ask you a question. I got to know this.
Oh, no.
For years, I asked you, I said, Sam, what's Duty's last name? It can't be pronounced correctly. What? Yeah, you know what? I wonder sometimes. Like for example, yesterday, I'm jumping because I just saw that comment. But remember, we interviewed a gentleman by the name of Lance Lucero.
Uh huh.
He can pronounce it Lucero. I pronounce it Lucero because it's like Spanish. And I'm wondering if it's Arelis or Arelis, and which one does she prefer? Arelis A or Arelis B? Let me know in the chat which one you prefer. But what I was going to ask you was, so for years, I was like, yo, Sam, what is Duty's last name? He goes, no, I got to tell you. Now I'm wondering, were you not telling me because you hadn't come up with one?
No,
it was you not telling me because his last name is kind of ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm sorry. See, now he's getting upset.
I'm sorry. I brought it up.
So his full name is Dudarius.
I'm sorry.
Uranius.
Right.
So yes, his full name is Dudarius Uranius. You know, he's from the planet Uranus. His father's the ruler of Uranus. Okay. And he thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. So what's she say? I like both. It beats asparagus relish.
Areola.
I was like, areola.
No. Oh, man.
Aurora Borealis. That's what I was thinking about.
Okay. Yeah. It's like Aníbal, right? Annibal, Arroyo.
Arroyo. Oh, Annibal. Hold on. Johnny Cypress calls him Animal.
Animal, yeah, like
that's too funny. Johnny be tearing up his name. Yes, all that too. See, Aurorialis, whatever. Yes, Aníbal. That's why I say Aurorius Capoyos. I mean, you know, you just can't.
I have a way, for me,
I do word associations. They're like George Medina, the dreamer, right? You know, Johnny the Cycle Syphax. You know, for me, I do word associations. It helps me remember people's names because I've always been bad with names. Great with faces, bad with names. So I have to do associations in order to be able to say, oh, yeah, that's this person.
Mm. Gotcha. Yeah. Wow. Well, there's that. There is that. So anyway, tonight we have a guest on the show.
Yes.
Okay. His name is... Tell us his name, Sam.
Michael Gotti, Earth's Best Friend.
Earth's Best Friend. Book three.
Let me tell you about my best friend.
Now, the campaign isn't live just yet.
No, the second. It launches the second. His goal is a G. He's trying to make a G. He needs that cheddar to make it happen. And we're going to be talking all about this. See, I did my homework. I do a little bit of homework. A little bit.
Good. Finally. Yes. So tonight.
I just wanted to say.
Yes, go for it.
He is the ideal guest.
Okay.
Because he's like the guest on supersonic mode because this kid's been everywhere promoting the fact that he's going to be on Cast the Craze. He's been doing video promos graphic promos and everything just – various, you know, how come we talk about that? We have guests that they don't even post that they were ever on the show. Right. I'm like, you know, and they reached out to us to be on the show, but they never even shared it with their people.
This guy
has done the home pre-work. Yes. You know, he's doing it while he's on the show and after. Okay. So, you know what? He's bound to make this campaign a success.
Now listen, normally we'll have a guest on that already has a campaign live and we're asking you to go pledge to it. We're not asking you for money tonight. Tonight, we're not asking you for money. We're asking you for support in the form of just hitting a hitting a button that says notify me at launch.
And so helps support.
Yes. So if you're watching tonight and you're watching right now, hit the link that's in the show notes, or you'll probably put it in the chat. Go to that link, hit the notify me button, help this man reach, I don't know, 100, 200, you know, backers before he even launches, just because you know he's hustling. He's hustling and he's doing his thing.
When do you want them to hit that link?
What's that?
When do you want them to do it?
Right now.
Tonight?
And then come back. Listen.
La la quick. La la.
Boom,
la
hit it, tonight. Come back. That's it. Wow. Hit it. I just hit it.
So see you, Alio.
Listen, but, yeah. I just hit it. And I'm back here now. I boom, did it. Done.
Bang, look at that.
Bang, bang. That's it. But yeah, so we have him coming on the show in a few minutes. But also one last thing I want to let you guys know. If you guys are watching in the show notes, we will also have a link to there's an alien in my toilet, obviously. But The Adventures of Wonder Duck.
Yes.
Which so, I will be launching in May.
Hold on, I got to sit back because he's going to be talking about all the things he's doing that's special. Go ahead.
Right. Sign up for The Adventures of Wonder Duck today. Today. Sign up right now.
Yes.
So right now, I'm fortunate enough to have 31 backers or 31 people waiting for this thing to launch in May. You guys are dope. I have already had some of you reach out to me, so I will be doing what I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do right now. If you guys reach out to me over at The Adventures of Wonder Duck on Instagram, right? Follow the page, send me a message and tell me, hey, George, I hit the notify button. I will be emailing you a PDF, an 8x10 PDF. Oh, nice. An 8x10 PDF. PDF that will not be part of the campaign. This is going to be strictly just for you. Now, when the campaign launches and it goes live and you do actually, you know, pledge to it, I will then send you a printed copy, an 8x10 printed copy of that PDF for supporting. And that will be sent out with the other stuff that you guys will be getting on the campaign. So as a thank you for supporting your boy and The Adventures of Wonder Duck. So
Who can make the sunrise, mix it up with love. Put it all together and see what you can get. The Candyman can, because he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. That's George. George the Candyman.
You're calling me a candy man? Like I'm like that guy.
He's giving candy away.
I got candy?
Like, Diablo.
Hey, listen. Look.
Johnny just hit that button. Look at that. Look at that. He got two people.
Johnny's making it happen. Johnny's making it happen, man. Johnny makes it happen. Yesterday we had Trish.
Yes. Brink and Fletch. Michael,
and they did their thing. They've already hit their goal. Yes. Yesterday they hit their goal, so that's awesome.
They hit their goal.
And tonight we're gonna help.
Destination of choice. And what is that destination of choice, do you ask?
You are listening to Catch the Craze.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. And tonight we're gonna have another guest on the show talking about his Kickstarter, Michael Gotti. So make sure that you support him. We're going to be talking to him a little bit about
John Gotti.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Well, we don't know.
Just going to put that out there.
We'll find out.
Don't whack us if you do. George's and Yonkers, go there.
This kid just gave people my location, son. What is this? He said, go there. You bastardo. Wow. Man, we're friends like you. Who needs enemies, bro?
How many of us have them?
Oh, man. Jesus.
Yes.
Anyway, so we're excited about everything that's coming down the pike. And if you want to be on the show, okay, we have a very easy way for you to do that. Now, I don't know if the link is going to be down low or whatever.
The wink is there.
The wink is below. Link is in the show notes. So make sure you hit. If you want to be in the show, hit it. It's going to take you into a calendar. It's going to have Tuesdays and Wednesdays available for you to choose. We have two time slots, a 7 or an 8 p.m. The 8 p.m. is usually for live shows. So if you have a Kickstarter, that's the time slot you want. The 7 p.m. is the pre-recorded show, which we air on Fridays. Pick one of those two. Sam will get an alert that you are interested. Make sure you let us know if it's a Kickstarter or not, and then we'll schedule you accordingly. It's as easy as that. Tell them the but.
All right. Look, you don't go to step two without going to step one. All right. So listen to me. Focus on me for a second. Hold on one second. I got to talk.
Get big. Get big on the screen.
I gotta do this for a second, man.
Do it, man.
What is this? Solo layout. Look at me. Look at me. I'm talking to you.
Hey.
Before you hit the calendar, hit the subscribe. All right. You want some love from the family? You're going to give love to the family. All right. That's how it works. Subscribe first, then you get on the show. You don't get on the show without subscribing. All right. You don't come to the dinner table without a bottle of wine. I'm just saying. All right. All right. Let's get back to, I don't even know how to get back to that.
Oh, Jesus.
Not gonna, how do I do this?
Oh no.
I don't know.
We should have practiced this.
We
Yeah. It's like, oh, hold on. What is this?
What's this? Technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's not letting me. Oh, there you go. There it is.
Yes. You see Jonathan's message?
What did Jonathan say?
Throw that up there.
The address. Yes.
He's going to get my address. Yo, with friends like you, who needs enemies, bro?
That's what I'm saying.
I swear to God.
I don't want to see you come to the house without a bottle of wine. I'm just saying.
This is why Jonathan hasn't been to my apartment yet, because he's going to give too much information out to the public.
You know, it's funny. Jonathan comes to the house and he has an empty book bag. He leaves the house, that thing is full. And you don't realize what's missing until like 2 months later.
That's the strategy, bro. That's the strategy. He hits you with the puppy dog eyes, and you like, here, take that. Take that. Yeah, no, he's good. He's good, that guy.
Yeah,
oh, man.
So I think it's about time that we bring in our very special guest. But before we do that, hey, look, there's other ways to be part of the craze. And one of the ways to promote your campaign, say you got a campaign that's coming down in the spring, and you want to get the word out. Why don't you just sponsor an episode of Catch the Craze?
Do you have a Kickstarter campaign and you're trying to figure out how to get the word out? You look online and you see the competition is fierce. Comic-Cons are slowly coming back, but in the meantime, how do you spread the word? You worked for hours creating your campaign. You post on as many social media sites as possible, trying to get the word out to no avail. Well, look no further. Why not sponsor an episode of Catch the Craze Podcast, the fastest growing indie podcast in the market today? That 30-second promo can get you an extra 2 to 3 backers or more. Who knows? Let's go. Hit the link below and get one step closer to a successful campaign.
All right. There he is. That's the man in the hour.
All right. Well, hello.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing well, you know. Right. I work third shift, so this is like morning for me. So
where are you located? Where are you
I'm in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. Cool. So welcome everyone. Here we are on Catch the Craze with our special guest. Introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. Hi. So yeah, I'm Michael Gaddy. Might see me down there as Max Ham. That's kind of like my internet handle. Working on changing it, but I don't have anything better to come up with yet. So, been an author. I mean, a writer forever. Been doing graphic novels since 2016. But Earth's Best Friends is my latest project. My other projects didn't really pan out. This one looks like it might actually do so. So. I got two books in print right now, book one, book two. It's these guys here. Covers are still works in progress, but I'm kind of learning as I go along. You know, this Kickstarter project coming will be my third project for this book. My first one was an epic fail. Second one was successful. And this one hopefully will be successful too. So, yeah.
Nice.
Outstanding. So before we talk about your campaign and your books, let's talk about you. Did you always grow up in New Hampshire? And what was life like growing up, and what were you into as a kid?
Yeah, born and raised in New Hampshire. I mean, well, technically born in Mass, but raised in New Hampshire. When you live in the border of Mass and New Hampshire, you're kind of resident of both. But yeah, it was pretty good upbringing. You know, I grew up in like a small town, Plastow, little hole in the wall place, you know, like maybe 8,000 people, the whole town. I grew up loving Saturday, you know, even though I'm into making comics, like I've really more my whole life been more into cartoons than comics, but you know, it's a hell of a lot more expensive to make cartoons than it is comics. love Saturday morning cartoons. It's what mostly inspires my writing. Your things like Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, just everything. Powerpuff Girls. There's all kinds of things that inspired me, just that I grew up loving. Also big fan of the MCU, Spider-Man, of course. Yeah, I love those I'm obsessed with the MCU. It's kind of like probably my favorite franchise right now.
What did you think of the last few movies? I mean, other than Spider-Man, because Spider-Man was up the hook. What did you think of the Eternals and the other two? And the, what was it, in Black Widow that came out from the fourth, I guess, phase?
Yeah. Well, I actually just watched Eternals. I mean, it was probably pretty weak as far as MCU goes, but I think it was still pretty good overall as a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't all be like super duper winners like your Avengers and Spider-Man, obviously, right? But I say it's probably in the middle of the road when it comes to MCU movies.
You know, it's funny, Mike. I think it could have worked better as a show. Like, Disney Plus, if they would have just broken that thing up into shows and had different episodes, I think that would have been a lot better. But so you're a lot very much so into the MCU. You model, I guess, some of your writing, or are you influenced by some of that in your writing, or you know, talk a little bit about your writing,
especially with the way I came up with this idea for this comic book. I call it an anthology because basically I have multiple comic book like titles in one book. Like you have like, I mean, when we get into the F-Best Friends, I'll explain that. But basically, yeah, it's very inspired by the MCU, the way it's structured story-wise. So that's a big influence on me right now, of course. Kevin Feige is probably one of my biggest heroes right now, you know, besides the big guys like, you know, Stan Lee and whatnot. But, and of course, the creators of Ninja Turtles, because they're from New Hampshire.
Nice. So at what point did you realize that you had the creative bug?
Very young age. I was, even before I could physically write, like before I even knew how to write, I was always making up stories, you know, with my toys and stuff, and or just pretend with like my sister and my neighbors and stuff. It's pretty much always been a part of me as long as I can remember. And it was mostly when I was a teenager where I was really starting to write like novels and stuff novels. I'm losing.
Yeah, George.
Mike. There we go.
There I am. Yeah. Is that where you started? You started writing novels versus comics?
Yeah. So how I got into comics, or how I got to making comics, was basically I started with a novel, and the feedback I got on that novel was this would make a better comic book than it is a novel. So that's kind of what got me onto that path. I said, all right, well, let's see how that works then. You know?
What was your first attempt at writing?
When I was 17, I wrote this book called... You're 17 years old. You don't know how to name things very well. It's called Life's Miseries, a Tale of Two Clones. strangely, you can actually find it on Amazon, but for a ridiculous price. I guess it's technically on Amazon. I don't get any royalties if you bought it, but it's somehow it was like I went through this publisher that actually was a scam publisher. And they were free, so it's like, really wasn't any skin off my nose that it was a scam, but it was like they produced this book at a ridiculous price. They wanted people to pay like $20 for this one book, and I'm like, I'm a nobody author. And this was 2003, so the internet was in its infancy when it comes to trying to get books bought for people and stuff. So from there I discovered self-publishing, and I had a few projects here and there. And the thing that kickstarted this whole, that went from point A to point B with Earth's Best Friends, was this other project I had called Untitled History of the Human Condition. It was greatly inspired by the Cubism movement. Mm-hmm. Again, you go through your college years and you think you're so cool. You're inspired by cubism and all of a sudden you think you're this, you know, change the whole world of writing because you think you're Pablo Picasso of writers. So that was another project that people were saying would be make a better comic book. So I had found an artist and he had this idea that was also kind of fitting with what I was going for. And he was like, well, here's what we'll do. You know, it'll be kind of like, it'll read like a book, but it'll have like one picture per page. And right. Then it'll have all your original text as if it was still the book, some kind of weird hybrid between comic book and novel. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have the financial capacity back then to really keep it going. So it kind of just stopped. But a lot of those ideas that I had from that book, actually like characters and stuff, are actually will be in Earth's Best Friends eventually. I didn't want to stop. And then my financial situation got a bit better as I got a better job. And so I kind of went back to it. And I was like, originally, because I had been burned by artists a couple times, I was like, I'm going to write this as a book. You know, this idea I had for Earth's Best Friends. And then then the feedback came and I'm like, I guess I'm gonna have to find an artist and go that route again. And so here we are.
So we have a question from Fizz Chozo. What is cubism?
So the cubism movement was this art movement in like the early 20th century. A well-known artist from the cubism movement would be Pablo Picasso. So you think like, it's really hard to explain like what a cubist painting is because Pablo Picasso wasn't the only one that did it. And the other guys that did cubism didn't look anything like Pablo Picasso's paintings.
Yeah. It was Paul Cezanne, I think, Cezanne or something like that. I think his name was also Paul something.
Yeah. There was a guy named, his last name was Cezanne. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Paul, that's him. That's exactly who, yeah.
Yeah, so him and Picasso were like the two fathers of cubism. Cezanne went on, he didn't become as famous as Picasso, mm-hmm. but like a lot of his designs and stuff are actually influenced in a lot of modern home designs and stuff. Like there's a lot of things inspired by him that you wouldn't even realize.
Yeah.
And then Picasso, obviously, I mean, he was basically the first person in the history of the world who could go into the fanciest New York restaurant ever, or just one of the, you know, most high end restaurants and pay for his meal with just a signature. I mean, that was like, he started that whole thing of people being that like, oh my God, you're him kind of thing.
Right. You know, The Museum of Modern Art actually has a Picasso painting. It's called the Girl with a Mandolin, I think it's called. And that's if you want to know what cubism, that's what like the cubism is. It's here in the MoMA here in New York. It's really, really cool looking painting. But yeah, it's interesting the whole cubism movement.
Yeah. And it inspired me to write that weird story or stories that I had for it. And you know, like I said, I thought I was gonna changed the whole world of writing with it, but you know.
Did you find it difficult to transition the novel into like a comic book? Was that adaptation difficult for you, or was it pretty simple?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, I guess the feedback is pretty right. It already was kind of written pretty close to a script, I guess. Anyway, And I have plenty of experience with script writing, so going from novel to script isn't too big of a jump. And I just had to kind of, you just kind of have to kind of figure out, it's like, all right, where in this chapter do I stop one like chapter in the comic book and start a new one kind of thing?
Yeah.
You just have to kind of restructure how you're telling the story a little bit.
When you write your scripts, Mike, is it more where you're describing everything to the artist, where you're saying panel one, we're gonna do this, this is gonna happen in panel one, panel two, panel three, or is it just like this was happening in the scene, draw it? Like how do you approach your scripts when you're sending them over to the artist?
I definitely leave a lot of imagination up to the artist. I don't generally go panel by panel, mainly because I don't have a good judge of like what would really fit on a page, especially with the with how much I sometimes I get too ambitious for my own bridges with what per page. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of leave it at like, all right, this is what's happening on the page. And that way it's like, they're not required to like, try to fit anything into one panel, you know?
Right. So yeah. So you'll throw in there like a description, maybe whatever dialogue's going to be in this, so that they know how much room to leave around maybe the character. So it's not covering the art too much and go that route.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, my artist Gene Pedroso, somehow me and him are really connected because he somehow manages to take my descriptions and do exactly what I'm asking for, which is awesome. Crazy.
how did you meet your artist? How did you guys meet?
Facebook. He actually posted that he was like up for commissions, and he posted an example of his artwork, which was like Street Fighter characters. And I have a big soft spot for Street Fighter characters, one of the Saturday morning cartoons I enjoyed when I was a kid, you know.
Right.
I loved his style. It kind of has this almost this childlike style, even though it was Street Fighter characters. I was like, that would be a really, so I felt like I had to have him draw for me. Kind of like in that scene from Titanic, I have to draw you, you know. So I literally came up with a four page script that had nothing to do with Earth's Best Friend. I mean, it was Earth's Best Friends, but it had nothing to do with the main story. It was just this holiday special, this 4th of July special. And after he did that for me, I was like, I have to fire my team and make you my artist. Because at the time I had a different team.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So I was like, how did your team take it when you said, hey guys, we're done here, I got a new artist? Like how did that work out?
I mean, they were on a per diem basis anyway. Okay. So it wasn't like, you know, they knew that this was such a beginning thing, and none of us were even sure how long it was going to go anyway.
Yeah.
So they weren't like too upset or anything. And they're like, hey, if you ever want to work together again, I'm like, yeah, man, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. But yeah, it was, the character designer, he's a character designer, and he was also my letterer. Mm-hmm. He was a little, upset at first, because at the time he had just like lost a job for a magazine or something. Mm. And he was like, I'm still going to pay you to design characters. I'm sorry. You know? But then he ended up actually being way too busy for me now. So I actually have a different guy doing characters too. Mm. But it was just, you know, at the time he was like, oh my God, what's going on here? You know, but it worked out really well, because now he's like, sorry, dude, I'm crammed with work now.
He's too busy now. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
If you guys are just joining us, we are talking to Michael Gotti, and we're talking about his book Earth's Best Friends that's coming at Kickstarter. When are you launching that campaign? I think Sam said the first.
The second.
Next Wednesday, the second.
The second. Okay, cool. So the second, it will be live on Kickstarter. Let's talk a little bit about Earth's Best Friends. Tell us a little bit about that. What's Earth's Best Friends?
Definitely. Yeah, so Earth's Best Friends is this, like I said before, a superhero anthology. It's about various superheroes that eventually must come together to save the world from evil. Pretty basic superhero stuff in my elevator pitch. I guess what you'd say main characters, or I'll say main characters for season one. You know, if I get as far as to a season two, we'll see. But the first, I'm going to say at least seven books are going to be what's called season one. Main characters would, because I focus heavily on them in amongst the season, called the Hyper Feline Ninja Heroes, mm-hmm. Which are these four cats that they're these four elementary school kids that transform into these cats that, you know, have magic powers and fight crime, you know. much like in a Power Rangers kind of sense. You know, they have to, like, you know, the little tagline I came up with is "Let's get ready for action," and that's how they transform. The kids themselves are actually based, the names and the slightly the personalities are based off my kids and my nephew and niece. So in this page here, Chloe and Jackson, those are the older kids. They're actually, they're twins in the book, but they're not twins in real life. They're cousins. And then in this page here, we have all four kids together. It's a mirror image, so I'm just trying to, like, figure out. So that's Sealy, and then Lacey's in blue. It's a mirror. It's really weird. They're the younger kids, Sealy being the youngest. And then in book two here, we do introduce another faction of heroes called the Animal Teens, which are, well, they're teenagers that transform into animals, not in the same sense as the hyper-feline ninja heroes, because this is these guys are a little more of like an X-Men kind of situation. Like, it just happens to them, right? Where like the first time they realize they could do it, it happens by accident. Like the first page of book two with the Animal Teens, he's a quarterback of a football and he just transforms randomly the first time ever while he's playing football, and the rabbit legs allow him to actually run to the end zone and win the game. You know,
there was a movie in the 80s called Teen Wolf, and I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but Michael, what's his name? Not Michael.
Michael J. Fox, right?
Michael J. Fox is in it.
Yeah.
And he transforms as they're, you know, as he's playing basketball, they all jump on him and then they transform. Sam's actually sharing the screen right now with some of your stuff. Oh, yeah, I can see what you're saying with the artwork. You know what I mean? Like with the artist, you know? So go ahead. So I'm sorry, Mike, continue. So Earth's Best Friend. Oh. So you have these, the other characters that you have on there.
Yeah, so those are the Animal Teens. The first one you'll see is Harlan. So yeah, he ends up transforming into a rabbit. And we have a couple of the characters. The dynamic of the Animal Teens is a lot different than the Hyperfeline Ninja Heroes, because with the Animal Teens, the what becomes the team Animal Teens, the kids don't actually like get along with each other 100%. Basically, you have Harlan, who's this quarterback, like star quarterback, but then you have like Sheila and Scott, who are like basically goth kids, more or less.
Okay.
And so that it's like now they have something in common with this kid who they don't like, but because of the whole rabbit thing, like, oh, you know what? You're not alone in transforming into animals, because we could do it too. You know, but he wants to go out and fight crime. They don't. They are afraid of the government. I have to talk about the government in this world because it's not our government. It's a little more of this dystopian kind of government. It's like basically what happened was this defense contractor type company eventually basically took over the world. So what you have is a government that can do whatever it wants. So their fears of being like captured and tested on if they were to be revealed are very valid in this world. Even though, you know, this is an all ages project, but I do have like some darker themes and stuff, especially as it goes on. It's going to be like a grow with me kind of thing. It's like if kids start it at age 8, by the time they get to like book 7 or even season 2, they'll be like 12 or 13, and the themes will get a little darker. And, you know, at least that's kind of how it plays out in my mind. Obviously, you know, things don't work out the way you think about, but
yeah. So this two factions, I guess, of superheroes,
yeah,
they're in the same world, and eventually they will get together and kind of go into some kind of adventure where they have to protect that planet or that world from some kind of, okay. Yeah, that's cool, man. Are you doing that? Now, I did notice that on your description on the, on the Kickstarter, you have book 3, chapter 6, you have chapter 7, chapter 8. So there are a few books within this campaign that people can get or will be getting, right?
So each book is made up of chapters.
Okay.
book one is chapter one and two. Book two is 3, 4, and 5. And then book three is 6, 7, 8, 9. Book three is I'm very excited for. It's some of the chapters in it were actually my favorite to write. Because I introduced this third character, third faction of superhero, if you will, but he's a solo, kind of more of a solo artist. Super Steak. Up with the name when I was 13, you know, but it's for kids, so, you know, it's fine. He's not a super flying piece of steak, though. It's just his name.
I was going to say, when is he turned to a piece of steak? What's going on here? Super Steak.
I actually slightly introduced him in book one now that you've read the first chapter, I have to explain a few things. Basically, he's my character that completely breaks the fourth wall. His powers are more on the kin of Superman, but his personality, I guess you could say, is a little more like Deadpool. So, because the whole fourth wall breaking, that's what people would think of when...
So it looks like we have a question from Jonathan, right? Jonathan Savage says, love what you're doing. I wanted to ask you, what points of prose writing do you feel transfers best into comic script writing, if it transfers at all? What prose writers inspire you? That's a two-parter there.
Prose. Prose like poetry, like, or just...
No, I guess like when you're writing a novel and it's basically just, you know, just that kind of writing. What points transfer to comic book script writing best? Is it the dialogue? Is it the description? What do you think?
Oh, I see. Yeah, at least for me, it managed to... Hold on. I got to think about that for a second.
John's asking those hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure. At least for me, when I translated the novel, the things that translates best for me were I would read what I wrote for the events, and then I'd basically, yeah, it'd be more the descriptions of the events more than the dialogue, because right. I probably didn't even have a whole lot of dialogue in a lot of the novel compared to obviously the comic book. You have a lot more dialogue. It's more dialogue heavy. So what translates best is more the events, the descriptions, and
that makes sense.
Story events, I guess, the story plot points.
Yeah. You know what? And I think you're right, because I think you can always change the dialogue after the fact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I guess that does translate. And then the other one was, who's your favorite writer?
Palahniuk, I guess is how you pronounce his last name, author of Fight Club. Mm. But I actually didn't even know him from Fight Club. I discovered him from a book called Diary. And the way he writes is really it's really interesting. He was actually an inspiration for my artistic project that was inspired by Cubism. You know, it was like Chuck Palahniuk and Cubism. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to siphon the essence of both these things into this book, But yeah, it was a book called Diary, and then there was a book called Choke by him as well that I really enjoyed. And there's Kurt Vonnegut, who I read Cat's Cradle and thought that was really good. Other than that, with books, I haven't really read a whole lot of like story novel type books. The stuff that I've read is more like on the lines of like documentary. Like there was this book that I read called Fast Food Nation. Like that was the kind of stuff that I would read if I did read.
Right.
with the exception of Ultimate Spider-Man, of course.
So you have a captivated audience. This is the moment of truth, right? Mm-hmm. So give us the pitch. Why Earth's Best Friends? Why this project?
Certainly. So, you know, Earth's Best Friends differs from your average indie comics in a lot of different ways. You know, a lot of the comics that get funded are your comics with your brooding main characters that there's the blood, the guts, the breasts, the TNA. And I don't have any of that stuff in this comic. You know, this is all ages, family friendly. It doesn't mean that just because it's family friendly, it isn't going to be like hard issues or stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I'm not looking for sex appeal. I'm not looking for crazy violence. You know, this is something that's light, fun, reminiscent of Saturday morning cartoons. And, it's got, you know, characters, anyone can really, even though the main characters are children or teens, I mean, there's still something for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that sort of thing.
Excellent, yeah. Man. Excellent.
Yes. Cool, so, my brother, cool. And the link to sign up for the launch page is below in the summaries. So hit that link. But where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you go to my website, www.earthsbestfriends.co, you'll find all my information on that website. That's what I'm using as like my internet business card right now, rather than just giving all 100 links, you know.
Outstanding. Well, thank you for being on the show. We wish you a lot of success with your campaign. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, your hustle is on fire. So keep hustling, because that's part of the process, right? It's the grind up to and during the campaign. So you're doing exactly what you need to be doing. So keep it up.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Good meeting you, my brother. We'll talk soon, man. We'll talk soon. Yeah. Good luck with the campaign for sure.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, my brother. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
All right. So that was Michael Gotti, and that's Earth's Best Friend. And the campaign is in the summary. We've had a couple of signups tonight. Nice. But yeah, so, you know, again, thank you for being on the show. I saw a question from Fizz Chozo about how does he get on the show and get interviewed by the Medina Hay. Well, as simple as, you know, go into the summary and hit the link where it says how to be a guest on Catch the Grace. There's a link there, and you take into a calendar and you can actually book yourself. You don't need to do anything. And obviously, you're a big supporter of the Craze, so you're welcome anytime. Good interview. Like the show? Yes,
absolutely, man. Great, great interview. And before we sign off, we're going to be signing off in a few minutes, because Sammy is going to be on live at 9 p.m. over at Creators Outlet.
Flipping the script. Now, while I'm in the hot seat, I'm being the interview.
He's going to be answering the questions. So you want to head over there right after this, right after we log off of here. But yeah, big shout out to Michael Gotti, who has, you know, he's trying to do what we're, you know, in a sense, what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to write comics for not just the grown-ups out there, but also the kids. And I think that it's important, because if we lose the kids, if they are not reading comics, then that's the end of the industry. You know what I mean? I grew up reading comics. Sam grew up reading comics. A lot of the people watching us grew up reading comics. And if there aren't comics for kids to read, guess what? There will be no more comic books. So I like what he's doing. Support the man. Sign up to his page. He launches February 2nd. And I think it's going to be like a 30-day campaign. Make sure that you pledge to it, help support him, and put his books out. But go ahead, Sam, what you got?
Yeah, and don't forget, you know, don't forget, the Dudester is waiting for you. Have you signed up for Disney and My Toy? The link is in the summary. Sign up. Duty needs 100 recruits. We got 62 people who signed up for the campaign. Let's get to 100. You want to be there. It's fun. It's crazy. It's Dudarius Uranius, and he's coming to Earth, and it's about to pop off. So if you want to have fun and be a kid again, this is a story for you. Sign up today. I just put the link in the chat. And don't forget, also sign up for The Adventures of Wonder Duck. Link in the summary. Wonder Duck launches May
4th.
May 4th. May the 4th be with you. So May 4th, The Adventures of Wonder Duck. And don't worry, when the campaign for Disney on My Toilet launches, there will be a thumbnail and link to Wonder Duck as well from that point on. So, I'm going to get ready. Look at that. Sammy's gonna be there. That's where I'm gonna be. You know, the
look for that. Look for that image on YouTube. It's the creator's outlet. Subscribe to the channel like I did.
William Pace. He's the man. William Pace. Yes, he's gonna be sitting down. Yes, and I do not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like it, Sam. I am. With that said, I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And we are
out. That's just easy. It does not.
Crazy. Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him. Oh.
Say my name, say my name. Right?
This is what you were thinking? Oh,
Lord. Are you describing? He said, I'm the
idiot. What? Catch the craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Bobby, girl.